In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." What a strong word that is. I'll come back to that several times here. Here's some questions to ask. Why do people come to Christ and not mature in their faith? Lots. We used to joke about getting rid of problem people that you would simply baptize them and you never see them again. But it is a concern. It is something that should be in all of our hearts. Why is it that people pray the prayer? You say, well, he prayed the prayer. Oh, he prayed the prayer. Oh, he prayed the prayer. And so we say, that's good. But is that it? Is that our salvation? We pray the prayer? Is there not something more to that? So why do people come and not mature? In other words, there's thousands and thousands of baby Christians that never went anywhere. And I'm sure it was a concern to Billy Graham when he would be doing these large crusades, just say as to what happens now to people in their faith. Why is it that they don't go on? That's a good question. There's a second question. Why are there so many nominal believers? I mean, they would say, I believe, I know the Lord. But they, I guess in their heart they know it, but not in a reality way that transforms them. In other words, there's churches full of thousands and thousands of people who are basically nominal Christians. They would be Christian because they're not Muslim or because they're not Buddhist or they're not something else. But it's just a great concern, as it should be to all of us. And here's another one. Why doesn't the church have a greater impact on our society? And I'm part of this society. You're part of it. So that's a good, really good question. Is that, what is it about that? Is it something in that we're not doing, we're not saying, but we are not impacting our city in a way that people say, you know, I came to know the Lord at your church. I came to get the Lord at your church. I came to get, you know, where people really were impacted by the church. And I don't see that. And I'm as a pastor, that greatly concerns me, that why we don't have a greater impact. The early church had a powerful impact. Why is ours? It's like they said about the apostle, or about this certain bishop in England. He wasn't the apostle Paul, but a bishop in England, where he said, wherever Paul went, Paul created a revolution. He said, wherever I went, he said, they served tea. And I think that's, I'm on that latter camp. For most of us, we go and they serve tea. There's not going to be a revolution as we hoped that there would be. But there needs to be, and God wants there to be. I just raised the question as to why we have not had a greater... We've had some impact. I think many churches have had some impact, but not in a whole city-wide way that people say, oh, that outreach was so powerful, and people came to the Lord. They're filled with the Spirit, and they got baptized. So these are the kind of things that we long to see and hope that we'll see more of it. So I have a partial answer to these questions, this dilemma. And here's my thought. Could it be that we have a thin understanding of the gospel and the Christian faith? We have a thin understanding of it. We know the Lord, perhaps. We know the Bible. We know the general things about the Bible. But it could be that our grasp of what it means to be a believer is a little too thin, and thus we don't have the impact. So here's some thoughts. Salvation, if that be the case, what I was saying, salvation becomes a past event. So we say, I got saved at the crusade, or I got saved through the four spiritual laws, or I got saved at the VBS. I got saved. And they point back to there, that time back. Oh, yeah, I gave my life. When was that? 1973. 73, you say. 1973 is when you gave your heart to the Lord, which is wonderful. We're glad you gave your heart to the Lord. But when it becomes a past event, and there's not something gripping and turning and twisting within inside of the desire to really, really grow because you belong to the Lord. So when you look back, that everything is behind, that's the one concern. But the other concern is equally disturbing. So, but it's the other side, one day when I get to heaven. So the main thing is he prayed the prayer, so he's going to go to heaven. They're going to go to heaven. Well, I would pray and hope that a gracious God will have mercy on them. But it's one day in the future when these things are happening and not today. So what is the essence of salvation? How does that work? Is it just a prayer? You pray a prayer and nod to God and... It's disturbing, isn't it? If you think about it, what is the core? So I wrote this statement: salvation, at its core, is our transformation from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. Now, that's the simplest it can be. That's what salvation is about: our transformation from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. That is substantially important. So, to belong to Jesus, it's more than a prayer. It's more than filling out a card even. To belong to Jesus is to follow him. That's the essence of it. We must follow him. Wherever that would take us, wherever that would be, we say, Lord, I'm available. And as we follow him, and I think this is true, I think I've proven this to be true, as we follow him, we become like him. But only as we follow him. It's more than going to church. It's more than going to midweek Bible study. These are all good things. I'm not against them. They do the job. But where is the commitment and the sense of destiny that I have decided to follow Jesus? To give him my heart? Yes, absolutely. But more than that. But that I would be surrendered and would be like him. So I follow him, and as we follow him, we become like him. That's the process. And so we can ask the question, are we becoming like him? I don't think it's in the notes anywhere, but it's worthwhile mentioning that in Colossians, Paul says, I labor in prayer for you until Christ be formed in you. And that, there's the question. Is Christ being formed in us? Because we've decided to follow him, and then these things start to happen, and our lives take on a new dynamic, and it's exciting and it's powerful because it's what Jesus had in mind. I think he had more in mind than tea. I'm pretty sure about that. So after we've been transformed from Satan to the kingdom of God, that's the issue, isn't it? To belong to Jesus, as I said, is to follow him, and we become like him. We listen to Christ's bold, unflinching call, which it sounded to my heart, and no doubt it was sounded to your heart, this bold, unflinching call where Jesus boomed out, follow me. Follow me. And we become apprentices of Jesus. That's the greatest compliment you could ever have, that you are an apprentice of Jesus. I mean, we're in training. We're going somewhere. It's important what we look at, what we study, what we share together, because we want it to have an impact, whether it's a midweek thing, we want it to have an impact in the whole church, that we would grow and that we would say, Lord, I'm here, I'm going to follow you. Not sure what all that means, but not the important thing, but becoming an apprentice is. So that brings us to the setting. There they are. Jesus is on the riverbank, and John comes along. Jesus comes along to John. He says, John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." It's repeated. It seems to be a very important an account that the writer gives us. I think of John 3:17, which when I think pleasing the Lord, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." Isn't that great? He didn't. This is a reminder of that. Jesus did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. I want to see the world saved. I know not every person is going to get saved, but I want to be part of that. Don't you want to be part of that movement of the Spirit where we decided we were going to follow the Lord, and then we look for other apprentices that will go the journey with us, and that the world might be saved through him. Not lost, not condemned. Jesus loves the world, and he was preparing himself. So there's an event. When John baptized Jesus, it was as if of all of Israel's history was summed up in that one symbolic act. Just as Israel went through the Red Sea to the first Exodus, so Jesus went through the Jordan in the final Exodus. Instead of deliverance from Pharaoh, however, Jesus offered deliverance from Satan himself, transforming all those who follow him into the kingdom of God. We will be having a baptism service before we talked about it. Anyway, it's coming. And we've been really encouraged because when we decided to have faith to believe that baptism should be a common thing, not an odd thing or a strange thing or one time we had a thing, but that we'd have. And so in faith, by faith, I don't think anyone's phoned the office yet, but by faith, we're believing the Lord there will be a number of candidates who are taking discipleship seriously, and they will get baptized. And we're praying that be more than just sometime, here's the ritual, how many haven't got, okay, then we go baptize. But something that would be really great, that if you haven't been baptized yet, you might want to very much give that some prayerful consideration and see what the Lord will do. But I will let you know very quickly, he'll give you a date here to move towards, probably at the end of summer. So to become a Christian, If we're encouraging people to get baptized, we assume that they're believers at some level. But to become a Christian is to become a Christ follower. That's who I am. That's who you are. So what religion are you? I'm a Christ follower. I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. To die to the old life, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 4, so powerful. That must happen, right? That must happen. To die to the old life and rise into a new life in him, cleansed and reborn. The sign of this death and resurrection is our baptism. And Jesus himself is our model. That if Jesus, the eternal Son of God, had to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness, how would ours be any less? It wouldn't be. It would be identical. He is our model. So baptism is the rite of entry into the Christian life. You may be saved, but you can't say you are until you're baptized and filled with power. And filled with power. Baptism signifies our spiritual exodus, our deliverance from Satan's kingdom, and our entry into God's kingdom, that we would know it and it would be alive in our hearts and burning and pulsating within us. You know, if we pray about this and move in this direction, I think that we can anticipate powerful things happening at the water baptism, but beyond the water baptism as well. So in other words, when Jesus came up out of the water, the Spirit came down upon him, and it was absolutely necessary that that happen. He was being anointed for his ministry. And when we baptize people, we are anticipating great things that they... I've seen it happen a number of times where somebody came out of the water and they were just almost glowing. They had the smile was... It was huge, and they came out, and I remember one time this brother leaned over to him and put his hand on him, and he was filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues. It was just, it was exactly like the scripture we're reading, identical to it. That the Spirit came and settled on that person, and I think we should be satisfied with nothing less. That it's not just getting somebody wet, but somebody getting somebody full. That they be full of the Spirit because of that meeting, because of that moment. It's not just a little abracadabra, it's that we be praying and calling on the Lord to prepare for a real gusher, right? And whatever the age, doesn't matter about that, but that there would be something of significance, powerful things happening at a water baptism service. And I say amen. I think that is. And so we will, see, and the thing about the Spirit, the law of the Spirit is that you only get what you see. And I think we've been proving this, haven't we? That we say, well, we'll wait and see if the Lord's got anybody for us. And of course they don't, because we didn't have an anticipation. Now we're anticipating that it's God's will to have disciples, that they would come to know Christ and they would be transformed and filled with the Spirit as well as filled with the Spirit, with the water. So there was the descent. And when Jesus came out of the Jordan River, an amazing thing happened, really. Mark chapter 1, verse 10, he said, he saw the heavens being torn open. Boy, how interesting is that? And the Spirit descending on him like a dove. The descent. Wow. And a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son. With you, I'm well pleased. Great, I love that verse. So just as Mark 1:10, we follow Christ into the waters of baptism to signify the death of our old lives, we also must follow his baptism in the Spirit. Water, baptism in water and baptism in the Spirit. That, and we settle for nothing less. That's what our heart cry would be when people come, that they wouldn't just get wet. It's important. Water baptism is important, extremely important. It's one of them next to being saved. There's nothing more important in the Christian life than being baptized. It's a big deal. So what's the big deal? That's the big deal. And we praise God for that. That's a wonderful thing. As Jesus was anointed and empowered for his ministry, what happened to him must happen to us. He's the model. And so we need two things. Number one, we need the Spirit's presence. And number two, we need the Spirit's power. And a church that has that right will be an impacting church. People will be saved and will be changed and transformed, because that's what the Scripture calls it to. A.W. Tozer, famous Christian Missionary Alliance fellow, once said that if the Holy Spirit was taken from most churches, nothing would change. Again, he said that if the Holy Spirit was taken from most churches, nothing would change. How in the world? How could that be? that if you took the Holy Spirit out of Valley Church, that it would be just... I remember there was a British program we watched, The Vicar of Dibley, one time, and the reason she got to be in the play, and the reason she got to be the vicar was because the other one had died, and he was... he died in the service. He died at the pulpit. And when he died, the service kept right on going. It just kept on going. I said, you know why that's funny? That's funny because it's true. It has many times there's very little impact if we took the Holy Spirit away. And that should be to a great concern to our hearts. So we ask the question, have you been baptized in water following saying goodbye to your old life and hello to your new life? And have you been empowered by the Spirit? I have long ago underlined Luke. I've got too many verses written out here. Luke chapter 11, 9 to 13. He says, how much more does the Lord want to give us the Holy Spirit? How much more? You don't see that very often, but that's one of the significant statements, that there, how much more would the Lord, to those that ask for the Spirit. And so we're asking you to do something, to be in prayer for the church. Pray for the church regularly. Would you do that? I am finding myself, if we want some things to happen, then we must pray that God will do that. And that fits us all. There's room for all of us here together. So there's the affirmation. My beloved son, with whom I'm well pleased. See, getting baptized in water and getting baptized in the Spirit gives you a deep sense that God's hand is on your life. It's an affirmation. I would say this, people who are baptized, I'll talk about the Spirit, if they're baptized in the Spirit, have their self-image improves remarkably when they're filled with the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit really does something for you. You become more confident that Jesus is with you and that he's working with you and changing you. And so it's pretty powerful. And we want everyone to, not just for their self-esteem, but how wonderful if somebody who's had low self-esteem comes and there's an anointing and we lay hands on them as they come out of the tank. They say that really impacted them. Wow. An affirmation. So number Jesus would say to us, you are well pleased. With you I'm well pleased. What a voice to hear. Lord, are you? Yes. And the Spirit came on Jesus and the Spirit comes on us. I think that's, and how do we know about those things? Well, we could start with Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We can go on and on and on. Ephesians, this is not an odd thing. This is a common thing for all of God's people, that the anointing of the Lord would be upon us, and that would be one of the natural times to pray for people for the infilling of the Spirit. Would be a natural. And even to have a prayer, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but so this affirmation comes, and pretty soon there's a church full of people confident. They're confident because they have decided to follow Jesus, and they're convinced that he's got a plan for their life, and I think you can get better than that. So how is life as God intended? How does it look? I wrote this out. Belonging to Jesus means attaching ourselves exclusively to him. You don't have to do the change. He'll do the changing. But that you would be attached to him. Say, I belong to you. I'm yours. I'm yours, Lord. And this is real faith. And it's accomplished by his grace and by his grace alone. That's a powerful thing. Attaching yourself. You're going to apprentice with Jesus. He will lead you and guide you and take you on all the things that need to be changed and shuffled off a little bit here and changed up there. He'll do that once you say yes to him. And you'll be on a great journey that maybe you would hardly even recognize yourself, you know, 2 years from now, because you said yes to him and he took you seriously. And this venture belonging to Jesus, and now it takes on a whole new reality. See, but to belong to Jesus, I wrote this, also means to embrace his agenda. To embrace his agenda. He's going fishing for people. And he wants to take us with him as instruments of his kingdom, his agenda. He wants me included in that. Are you ready for the journey? I think it would be really great if our church was in renewal to the point that people were following the Lord and attaching themselves to him and going fishing for people, which I think that's very, very exciting. So we are out to ransack the kingdom of Satan and extend the kingdom of God. And you'll know, and I'll know, that God is working among us when we have the baptism service and we count. Remember, we were counting it. What was our written initial number? 25. In the end of the beginning of the year, we're 25. We just say, Lord, would you give us 25 people who have not been baptized and who are newer in Christ? And the next one, we will anticipate more as a sign, because what kind of a church doesn't make disciples? Right? It's a really big deal. And you will never be sorry. You will not be sorry. You will not be sorry if you say, well, I'm going to take, pardon the pun, I'm going to take the plunge. And good. I know that the only regret you'll say, I should have done that 10 years ago. But it's never too late. It's never too late. You say, oh, I'm too old. No, you're not. I'm too young. No, you're not. If you're thinking about that, no, I'm sure you can work that out. But we enter the kingdom by repentance and faith to become true worshipers of the Lord. And as we go through our exodus, our baptism, our dying to the old self, dying to our old lives, to live new lives. See, this is what we're anticipating, a new life. That we're not only reborn, but also empowered for kingdom ministry. I think that it'd be wonderful if I don't know how it's all going to work, but we'll make it work, is that we'll have an opportunity, maybe even an evening service or something, to pray for people who want to be empowered and baptized in the Spirit. Right? And who knows, the majority of them will probably speak in other tongues. And just like Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 10, Acts 18, so on, so forth. So we want everyone to be empowered, available to the Lord. And that could make for a very, very interesting new year as we go into as fall comes and then we get into a new season. We are baptized in water and in the power of the Spirit. Those two things go hand in hand. And I think that even right now, I believe God's already preparing people for what I'm talking about. And in Jesus, we are called to battle against the darkness and lay down our lives for the least and the lost and the last. And so this new life that God has for us, as God created it and redeemed it to be, I want to be a part of this. There are disciples, there are people that would make great disciples of the Lord. You just haven't stepped out to that place. And in a few minutes we'll be sharing that and talking about that. But the Lord created this great thing where we are filled with the Spirit. And I was praying the other morning, Lord, I want to be filled. I and again, I want to be filled, and I want to be filled, and I want to be filled. Fill me, Lord. Equip me for the for your agenda for my life. Not just the church. The church will have an agenda of making disciples, making sure they're baptized in water, making sure they're filled with the Spirit. But what about the agenda for you? How does that work? Have you been filled with the Spirit as an individual? Has God been speaking to you about that? Have you sensed the lack of power? And you say, I need more power. Yes. But you also need the presence of the Lord, not just the power of the Lord, but the presence of the Lord. That's the beauty of that. Then we would be a church that fruit, hopefully lots of fruit is on the vines, but that we would be there serving the Lord, life in the kingdom. God created it to be a certain way. See, I think it's supposed to be far better than simply having a cup of tea. I'm not against a cup of tea. That'd be nice. But I'm trying to make the point that churches are kind of known as sleepy time places. And we need a real gusher. We need something that whelms up and say the church is vibrant. And, you know, we're not quite sure what's going to happen any given Sunday. Would that not be a dream? That we're just not sure how it's going to happen. We just leave a little space for the Lord to move. And we find out that this person gets healed in the service. Somebody gets filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the church that God envisions for us. I'm sure he does. And we can't make it. We can't manipulate all this. But I'm just saying that's what it looks like. And because we decided to attach ourselves to the Lord, and because we belong to him, also he wants us to live for him. But it's I think it's a good thing. It's not a... Oh boy, I've got to be more committed. No, enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey, what he has for us. I think that could be the really great moments that we are going to trust God for. And so we'll give a date coming up for the tank, but it's linked to what I'm saying here. There's this belonging to as we walk with the Lord, we become like the Lord. That's the goal of all this. That's the goal of being baptized in the water and baptized in the Spirit, to become like him. To become like him. That's the whole goal. So, till Christ be formed in you. And Romans talks about that, about the image of God, becoming conformed. Because we're gazing at the Lord, we become like the Lord. So this isn't for weird, flaky people. This is for ordinary kind of people like yourself. Well, there's a clarion call coming to you this morning and to me that we would pray that the Spirit of the Lord would be very, very strong and present. And that we wouldn't be another... You know how it works, by the way. You may not know this, but studies have shown, they call it the normal Christian plateau, where the first while... The church really rockets. It's new. It's new people, new things, and good things happening. And it goes this way for a long time. And then after a while, it kind of levels off and levels off and levels off. And then it can go. Churches are amazing how they can go for years and years and years. And it still keeps going. There's enough programs. There's enough people. There's enough finances to keep it all going. And but then, after a while, it starts to, ever so slowly, starts to drop. And pretty soon it's an older church with older people, with no new people. Like I think I told you this time about this, the church wanted to borrow a portable baptism tank. And I didn't know if I'd ever seen one at that point, but it was quite ingenious. But I said, well, don't you have a baptism tank? Well, we don't know where it is. We don't know where it is. You know, I think there's one way you can tell if renewal is needed, when you can't find the baptism tank. Who took the baptism tank? Somebody's taken the baptism tank. Well, don't worry, you didn't need it anyway. So, a church will eventually stagnate, but it doesn't have to. and revival and renewal and an awakening and a stirring of our hearts that to make sure that everybody's baptized in water and everybody's baptized in the Spirit. That would be the goal. And then that we encourage people to attach themselves to Jesus for that journey, because he'll take us on that. But having not that, I have seen it. You've seen the future if you don't catch this. It's imperative that we pray powerful prayers over the church. God, just stir us, that we would be a wake-up place. And I'm including myself there. Here, the fish always stinks from the head down. And so the leadership, that's how it's from the leadership. And then as we yield ourselves, and again, attaching ourselves to him, asking him to take us on that wonderful journey. This is life in the kingdom. Unusual things, great things, exciting things, people you meet, and people you, God starts using you. It's powerful. So what do you think I said just now? Let's have a, we got a few minutes, not too much, but we got a few minutes. What do, for you, how would you diagnose not just our church? We don't want to be critical of our, hey, by the way, I love this church. Don't you love this? I love this. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love it. So we're not being critical that way. We're just saying, how can we keep a good thing and keep it to make it better? To have a church that's just an amazing place, full of the Lord, and young and old, of course, but that would be, it'd be really something. All right, anybody just have some thoughts? What did you hear the Spirit say in the last half hour? I was thinking even that along that line was that you might just meet somebody that you feel you should engage in a conversation in the church, even or somebody nearby, and you meet this person and you say I never would have done that, but you felt encouraged to be able to say something to them, whether it's in the hospital or in the anywhere it'd be. It's just you have a new friend, as it were, that God has put you together. Exactly. Of course, in many ways, Carl, you inspire us by your joy and your energy. So keep doing it. I think everybody knows that Carl's one of our elders, right? As long as you know. Anybody else? You know you do. You do know. Somebody else. Oh, sorry, Jen. Where are you? I think it'd be a good idea. I think the sometimes though, when there's a great need in their personal lives, they might draw a better crowd there than they would here. I know if we gave out free breakfast, there'd be about four people would show up. No, it wouldn't be too many coming out for. Well, but we invited them. Yeah, but they don't do that so much. Right? You hear what I'm saying? You have to be a bit more creative for the more sophisticated the group, as it were, harder to get to draw people. Like my mother, I was thinking, she would have been horrified to be caught at a gospel meeting. That would have been terrible for her. She's British, for starters. But I'm just saying, you have to have a special way. Somebody else. Yeah. Wow.
So that all helped me put together who all goes. And it's been really encouraging to know, and to know that at those particular times for the day, someone else is praying exactly the same
way. Wow.
The same things. Really different power.
And how big a group is it?
Well, we got 12 in our group.
Oh, my goodness.
Vernon's group.
Yeah, beautiful. That's what we're talking about, what the Spirit is saying. Somebody else, just take a minute. Maybe we gave our best answers first. Is there anybody else? We won't linger. We'll just scan the crowd here. One other thing. Oh, sorry, William. Of course you did.
And I said, no. I said, no, Ed, I have nothing yet. Do you want to? I said, yes, but let's go now. I said, okay, so pray. All of a sudden, I start saying a few things. I said, a few things are precious to us. And I said, okay, that's good, that's all right. And then I said, well, my knees in bed. And then after that, I said, no, I'm going to keep on fertilizing. Pray the flowers, whatever. I start practicing, practicing. And I became full of dinner. And then I realized the amount of prizes in my life is doing how does it actually work? Because I'm that kind of person. So I was about to go to summer camp for my business. So I decided, okay, for that week to get there now. And before I walked in, I saw people in town. I said, oh, whoa. It never happened before that you just walk through the door and you're fine.
Yeah. William, thank you. Wow. I think that the presence and the power of the Lord is on you for a fresh new day for you here. I mean, in the days ahead. One thing about William, he doesn't fake things. He's from head to foot, he's the real thing. So that's great. That's a great. I still remember the morning that Ed Hurd and I had left here from a pastor's meeting or something. We were walking up the little ramp there to McDonald's. And he meets, I said, oh, here's a soul. Have you met so-and-so, Ed? Ed says, oh, do you know Jesus? And yes, I know Jesus. Said, oh, have you been baptized in the Spirit? Well, of course, he was looking for a bus, right? And so he kept. It was a great moment.
For a bus,
yeah, make it quick though, right? Because the bus is coming by. But anyway, I appreciate the boldness of that, so. Yeah. You know what we should pray? That's because he can come under attack too, especially in sometimes in his groups, it's going a certain direction, and so Ed has stood up for truth. So Anya, why don't you lead us in a prayer? I mean, well, how wrong can it be? I'll tell him, Ed, that Ed, hope you didn't mind. We prayed for you. Let's stand. This is great. This is good.
Ed always says, let's do it now.
Let's do it now. Lead us, please.
Bless it. And Lord, you open doors for them that I sometimes worry that doors get closed off for him. But Lord, you open doors to situations where he's praying for people that don't know you.
Yes.
People are asking him to pray for healing. He's praying for people to be filled. And Lord, it just goes about just you and him walking down the same floor. He's so precious, Lord.
Yes. Yes, yes. Yeah.
We thank you, Lord, that you go before him, you go behind him, Lord God. You protect him. Lord, we pray for his health.
Yes.
We pray for his stroke. We pray, God, that you would fill him with divine healing, Lord God.
Yes.
And we just thank you, Lord. This man is so filled with love, Lord. We just ask for more.
Yeah.
Lord, Jesus is such a shining example of you, Lord God.
Yes. Yes.
We thank you for it. We just hear, continue to hear wonderful miraculous.
Yes.
Miraculous things, Lord God. Healing and salvation.
Yes.
Lord, bless his family, Lord God. Bless his church, Lord God.
Thank you.
Just thank you for this mighty man of God.
Yes. And that, my friends, is life in the kingdom. Thank you for being here this morning. Join us if you can on the patio for coffee. Thank you.